It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome back to Taylor Talk, episode 16, everybody. This is Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
And Diane.
Hey, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Welcome.
It's nice to be back on the show.
Again.
We heard awesome. Diane.
Let's kick it off with some announcements. Today is May 13th, 2012. So, everybody always calls this Swift Day, but it also happens to be Mother's Day. So we're calling it Mama Swift Day.
Yay!
Yay!
So as such, this episode is going to be dedicated to the very, very awesome and amazing Andrea Swift.
Yay!
Okay. Yay! Yay to our favorite mama who's not our own.
Yep.
It's also a very special day because the agency's own Paul Sidoti has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday.
Does anyone know how old he is?
No.
No.
Maybe he doesn't want that revealed anyway.
Probably not. Actually, let's keep the mystery alive for him.
Final announcement. The next episode is going to be all girls.
Woo!
Yay!
Yeah, you guys are excited about that. Yeah.
Kicking you off.
Bye. This is, for those listening, this is going to be my very last, I'm just kidding, it's not going to be my last episode. I'm taking a trip to Panama, so next episode is going to be a fun girls episode, because I'll be out of the country.
Actually, it's not true, we just got tired of him, so we're making him leave for an episode.
We're sending him to Panama for, you know, to get him out of the U.S. for a while, so the U.S. won't break.
U.S. has to take a break for me. On the plus side, if any listeners are in Panama, hit me up.
What a date with Adam Bromberg in Panama.
What are you going to be doing in Panama, Adam?
I'm going for work.
Cool.
Yeah, nothing special. It's not as exciting as it sounds, to be honest.
Yeah, we're going to have much more fun here on Taylor Talk.
Probably.
Yeah, no rules. Gloves are coming off. Having a party.
We are.
So some random stuff before we get started. You may have noticed Taylor Talk's new sound. We got a new intro on the show. Why? Because the copyright monsters attacked us for using Taylor's music. That's okay.
The copyright monsters.
The copyright monsters. But it's okay. We were down for a little bit, but we are back up with our new intro. So that is that. Another random fun thing I noticed, and I hope you guys all did too, because I tweeted about it from the Taylor Talk account, is that I found... Do you guys know the website called... Ooh, I forget what it's called, but it's a web archive. Wayback Machine. Are you guys familiar with that?
Anyway. I have never used that before. It sounds cool.
So what it does is they archive old versions of websites. Like, they do it to every website on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just randomly decided to search taylorswift.com, and I found a version of it that was archived from 2003, and it actually had, in the navigation bar at the top, a section called Taylor Talk.
That's awesome.
So I had to take a screenshot of it and tweet it, because I was really excited that taylorswift.com had a Taylor Talk section back in the day.
In other words, whatever psychic anticipated the existence of this show years later, thank you.
That psychic would be Taylor Swift.
Yep, because she's actually a psychic on top of everything else. Yeah.
So Maya's going to give us the calendar. Maya?
Yes, I am. Okay, here we go. So the first thing is exactly 1 week from today is the 2012 Billboard Music Awards. Yay!
Yay!
That's going to be live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And Taylor is up for 2 awards, Top Touring Artist and Top Country Artist. So definitely tune in and watch that. It's going to be on ABC at 8, 7 Central, and that is next Sunday, the 20th. Make sure
and watch
Taylor. That. Yes, good luck. And the second thing is the CMT Music Awards are going to be happening on June 6th. She has 3 nominations: Video of the Year for Safe and Sound with the Civil Wars, Female Video of the Year for Ours, and Collaborative Video of the Year also for Safe and Sound. So definitely go to cmt.com and vote for her, because we really, really want her to win all 3. Woohoo! And that, again, that show is going to be on June 6th at 8 on CMT. So make sure and watch that and keep voting.
Go vote for Taylor. Yes.
Woohoo! Vote.
Okay, B.O.B.'s collaboration with Taylor Swift on the song Both of Us is now available on iTunes. So if you haven't gotten it already, you should pause the show right now and head on over to iTunes and buy the song, because we would like to get that song back up on the charts. A couple weeks ago, Belle and Maya and Adam released a special edition of Taylor Talk, in which they talked about the song, and their thoughts about the song and their analysis of it. So you guys should listen to that as well, and I hope you did. And later on in the show, we're going to do a follow-up now that we have more information about their songwriting process and things like that. So just wait up for that. And then our second news item is that the cast of Glee recorded a version of Taylor Swift's Mean for a scene featuring Coach Beast and Puck. And that scene can be seen on episode 20. That's a lot of scenes in the same sentence. But anyway, if you would like to listen to that, you can watch it on episode 20 entitled Props, or listen to a streamed version at gleethemusic.com.
Yay!
Woohoo!
I've already listened. Have you guys listened to it yet?
Yes.
Yes,
I have.
I like it. I thought it was cool.
I still prefer Taylor singing it, to be honest.
Just in case that you guys forgot to get your mother a Mother's Day card today, Taylor has you covered, as she's released some new Mother's Day greeting cards through her partnership with American Greetings. And you can visit AmericanGreetings.com to browse through her new collection, and you can find a retailer near you that sells them, so get on that.
I saw some of them at the grocery store today. They are adorable.
Very cute. Very cute. Nothing says, oops, I forgot Mother's Day, awesomer than a Taylor card.
Definitely.
I actually went to the store last night to try to find one for my mom, and they were sold out. I was really sad.
Yeah, they were settle
for
like,
that's sad for you, but that's pretty cool that they're popular.
At my grocery store, too, they were like almost gone. They seem to be doing pretty well, so yay for Taylor. Got some popular cards.
Her cards are so cute. I have a couple of them in my fridge that other people have given to me. They're adorable.
I know, all my friends get me Taylor Swift cards now. It makes me so happy. I know, I love mine.
And this is a really, really cool thing that I thought. There's a book out called 30 Things Every Woman Should Have and Should Know by the Time She's 30. It's by Glamour Magazine's Pamela Redmond, and Taylor actually wrote a chapter in it. How cool is that?
It's very awesome, cool. And I read that chapter, and it is wonderful.
I did too.
She's seriously, like, she could have been a writer easily.
She is a writer.
No,
she
I mean like music. A novel writer, not like a songwriter, which she already is.
Right.
And she did write a novel when she was, like, 11.
Yeah, 11 or 12. That counts. Something.
We're still waiting for that one to surface.
I know, she needs to
One day it will top the New York Times bestseller list.
It could happen. But yeah, it was really, really insightful, actually, and I really like her attitudes toward, like, she says that she doesn't really have any, like, specific age marker goals, which I think is really cool, and it's exactly how I am. It's like, why should you have to do this by the time you're this age? And her philosophy is like, don't worry about it, just do what you love and be yourself. And I think that's a really good attitude to have, to not like try to put yourself into a mold and say like, I have to be married by the time I'm 30, you know, things like that. And she basically says that, you know, that's not how she sees her life and how she views things. And I thought that was, I don't know, do you guys have like age marker goals for yourselves?
No.
Not really, no. I feel like, I don't know, it's so stressful to, like, box yourself in like that. Like, I need to be in this place by the time I'm this age. It's, like, so much stress that you don't need.
I agree. I mean, I think that, like, if to live your life fully, and if you're going to sit there and put age marker goals on yourself, like you said, you are fitting yourself into a box, and you're fitting your life into a box, and life isn't really linear, you know? So many unpredictable things are happening all the time. And it's like, I've always been a happier person than I've just been like, okay, I'll just go with it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Belle, I haven't actually read the book yet. Where did you, find it?
You can actually get the book from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, any book retailer, I guess, at that point. So, just look it up and buy it.
Cool.
I'm sure you can probably buy it online or go to Barnes & Noble and ask them.
For sure. So, as promised by Diane a couple minutes ago, we're going to do a quick Both of Us follow-up. You know, like she said, we did a special edition of Taylor Talk discussing our initial thoughts and feelings about the song, which we released more or less, within about an hour or so of the song release? Something like that?
Yeah. We were on it.
Yeah. So, at that time, we didn't quite have all the information yet, but now we do. So, but first, before we get to the facts, do you guys, now that you've had a chance to listen to it a little bit more, do you love it more, less, or just the same?
More, I would say.
Yeah, I would say I definitely love it more. Like, when I first heard it, I was kind of like, oh, yay, it's Taylor. You know, it's always exciting to get a new song by Taylor, but I'm not really that big of a fan of hip-hop and rap, but the song has definitely grown on me as I've been listening to it more.
I mean, and as you hear it more, you get to, like, hear more of the lyrics and, like, really start to sort of understand the message of the song. And I think, like, for me at least, as I sort of got to understand it a bit more, like, that made me also like it more.
I third that.
I fourth it, because I love the song now. I listen to it a lot. Especially now
that I know that Taylor was involved in writing some of the rap verses.
Right, which is one of the things we just found out since we released that special edition.
I love that she writes awesome. Rap. That's
awesome. You love that she writes rap?
I do.
Yeah, so
I think that's awesome.
Basically, what we have found out and have been able to confirm through the different news sources is the fact that, you know, we all know B.O.B. had that special appearance on Taylor's Speak Now tour. So apparently what actually happened was he went backstage and he played an early version of it for Taylor and she fell in love with it. Wanted to come on board, and at that point helped B.O.B. rewrite some of his verses. That answered our question from the special edition.
I love that she did that. I think that's awesome.
Me too.
That would explain why it's probably also the most popular song off of that album.
Well,
especially
also
because it is a single.
Yeah, that too.
Which we also just found out that it is a single, and it's been heard playing on XM Satellite Radio, which I actually found that out, Maya, thanks to you guys on T-Swift on tour retweeting someone that took a screenshot or a photo of it, I mean.
Wow, well, so, glad we could help.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Okay, so if you guys haven't bought it yet, both of us, go on iTunes and buy it, because...
Because, unfortunately, the bad news is that it's short-lived on the single chart, and it's not in the top 10 anymore, so we need to buy it some more and get it back up there. It's down to number 62, which is below Eyes Open, which is still at 26. So, yay Eyes Open, but... This song is awesome, too, and it should also be up there on the charts. So if you haven't purchased it, please go purchase it.
Hey, Belle.
Yes?
You want some fun facts? So you just said that it was down to 62, which is below Eyes Open, which is still at 26. 26 is 2 times 13. That's 2 13s. Then 62 backwards is 26.
That's really impressive, Adam, that you were able to do that with numbers.
Good job, Adam. I'm glad that you have the free time.
Are you being sarcastic right now? I thought it was really cool.
It is cool. It's just something that I would never, ever think of.
It's just a bizarre coincidence showing how everything in Taylor's life seems to be related to that number 13.
Do you guys ever see that movie with Jim Carrey? It was like the number 23.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but yeah, no.
I feel like it's like Taylor's 13 is like that. You can find anything in like related to Taylor and literally, like, I mean... Not jokingly, but literally, related to 13. I think that's just so cool.
It is, and do you know what's even cooler?
What?
Is that Strange Clouds, the album that both of us is on, is at number 7 on the album charts on iTunes, and number 7 is my number. Heyo!
Aww. Go, Adam.
What a nice coincidence.
I think it is. All right, so... On to our first mini segment for the episode.
Okay, here we go. The first one is from Mara via email, and it's, you know you're a Swiftie when you freak out and fangirl when one of your submissions gets read on Taylor Talk. So here's your chance to freak out and fangirl.
You know, Mara.
Are you freaking out right now, Mara?
We hope
Hi,
you
Mara.
Are.
Hi, Mara.
Hey, how are you?
You are. Yay.
Thanks for the submission.
We love you.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, Virtual hand hearts.
Alrighty,
okay.
Then.
Okay.
Diane.
And for If Swifties Ruled the World, this submission comes from Kelsey. We would live on the 13th planet in the 13th dimension.
Whoa. That's like trippy. That's like...
That is trippy.
Yeah, it's like an episode of The Twilight Zone or something.
Is that joke too
old for our
listeners?
The 13th dimension. Hey, isn't there, like, a ride at one of the Disney Worlds, like, called, like, the 13th floor or something like
that? Yes. Oh, my God. It's such a fun ride.
Oh, it's the Tower of Terror, but it goes up to the 13th floor.
It does. It goes up to the 13th floor, and then you fly all the way to the bottom. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I love that ride. That's my favorite ride at Disneyland.
Me too.
Yeah.
You guys are silly.
Me too. Also from Kelsey.
Back to back.
Back to back. Back to back. You know, you're a Swifty when you pause your music just to sneeze. I can't believe I did this in parentheses.
I'm assuming she's referring to, like, her Taylor music. Like, she's listening to Taylor and then she pauses it to sneeze. That's really funny.
Well, hey, that's completely valid. I mean, you would miss, like, a whole couple of words if you sneezed.
I know.
And then every single moment of a Taylor song is precious. You have to pause it. Exactly. I fully agree with her.
Next one. You know you're Swifty when you only wash your hair every 1.5 days because that's how often Taylor told Ellen she washes hers.
That's cute.
I thought that one was funny.
All right.
That was that was submitted by Jessica via email.
Okay. The next one is from GaleXTikTok13. You know you're Swifty when you now love the Hunger Games because of her song on the soundtrack. So, like, you were a Taylor fan, and then she did a song for the Hunger Games, and now you like the Hunger Games because Taylor was involved.
I get it!
No, it's actually kind of cool, though, when you like someone or something, and then they introduce you to something that you might not have, like, thought to explore before.
Yeah. Hey, in all fairness, I never, ever in a million years would have read Hunger Games or seen the movie, for that matter, if it weren't for Taylor's involvement.
I think that's probably true for a lot of people. I mean, Taylor fans, specifically.
And I think there's a lot of Hunger Games fans that probably wouldn't have listened to Taylor had she not have done two songs on the soundtrack. So I think it worked both ways. I think they both gave each other new fans.
Fair enough. It worked out nicely for both.
All right, this one comes from Piera Pie, and it says, you know you're a Swifty when you introduce Taylor's music to your grandma, playing a couple of her songs on bass. That's awesome.
I love it! Cool. That's awesome.
Hey, grandma's gonna listen to Taylor too.
Everyone's got to listen to Taylor.
Everyone's got to listen to Taylor. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Babies, kids, elderly, you name it.
Dogs,
Taylor should
cats.
Be blasting it. Yeah, dogs, cats, pigeons.
I talked to my grandpa about Taylor.
Turtles, everybody. This next one is from Micah Swift Chance, and it's, you know you're a Swifty when you know how many rhinestones are on her sparkly guitar. If you know this, please tell me.
How many?
Yeah, how many?
How many? I feel like she's said things in interviews that were, like, large exaggerations, like, there's, like, a million rhinestones on here, but, like, I don't think that's actually how many there are.
No, there's not actually a million.
No, but I want to know if somebody actually knows the number.
Please, I love all the people who are like, who custom made Taylor's guitar for her? And, like, she did that with her mom.
She just glued them on.
They, like, sat down and glued rhinestones onto it.
I'm actually considering doing that to one of my guitars.
That'd be super
you
cool.
Fun
when I have the time one day. But I think it would look
cool. Sounds like a lot of work, but I'm sure it would be very rewarding in the end.
Yeah, then you have this awesome sparkly guitar.
Until they all start falling off like Taylor's.
Yeah, she said they fall off, and sometimes before a show, they just have to, like, get out the glue and, like, quickly,
glue,
like,
gun.
Glue some more.
Yeah, the hot
on.
Glue gun and just glue some more on there. Yeah.
Would you want to hot glue a guitar? Would that be a good idea?
What you can do is put a layer of paint over it, and then hot glue over the layer of paint, because you guys have done hot glue before, right? Before,
yeah.
Right. If you have a pre-painted guitar, like you can buy them custom on Amazon or whatever, they're really cheap. If you hot glue on over the paint, it's not gonna do anything to hurt the guitar because frankly, it would just peel right off with the glue and the paint.
Oh, that's cool. I like how we just segued into, like, craft corner here. Sorry.
All right.
How to sparklize your guitar.
Yeah, let's just finish these up, though, because we got yet another back-to-back from Micah Swift Chance, who said, if Swifties ruled the world, Meredith would have her very own Wonderstruck for cats.
I wonder what that would smell like. I was trying to think about that.
It would smell like kitty
litter. It would smell like catnip.
Catnip and, like, fish.
Okay, that just does not sound like...
It doesn't sound...
Yeah, but the cat
would
like
you're
like
not
it.
A cat, though, so...
Okay, but here's the problem, okay? Now, you're trying to make the cat smell attractive, not, like, food to other cats.
No, but the cat's trying to smell... But, like, that's the kind of smells that they like, though. They don't like, flowers.
So, can I ask you guys a question really quick?
Yes.
are you actually having a legitimate discussion on our podcast right now about what a cat perfume would smell like?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know what? It was started by this Micah person.
Okay, blame it on Micah Swift Chan.
Blame it on Micah Swift.
They started it.
They started it.
I still maintain that if a cat smells like fish, it's going to confuse the other cat. They're going to be like, I want to kiss you or eat you.
All right, well, for everyone who submitted, thank you very much for doing that. If you want to submit for future episodes, remember, just tweet us at TaylorTalk13 or email it in to TaylorTalk@TaylorSwift13.org.
So since it's Mother's Day, we should talk about one of our favorite awesome Taylor songs that has to do with mommy. The best day. We're going to talk about the best day. That's going to be our song for today.
Right you are, Belle. The best day was written by Taylor. No co-write, correct?
No co-write.
It came off her second.
For her mommy.
It was.
It came off. Present for her.
It came off her second album, Fearless, which debuted November 11th, 2008. So before we get into the discussion part, I just want to read what Taylor wrote about it, which was on the old version of the website before that remodel. Just so everybody has a background on the song, because I know we know about it because we already read this. Right?
Yes, we did.
Correct. Yep.
Glad I'm good. I'm glad you guys actually read that beforehand.
We always read beforehand.
We're always on it. Adam, you should know that about us.
We do our homework.
Yeah, we're very on the ball.
Oh, I love my co-hosts. Mm-hmm. You guys rock. Anyway, so this is what Taylor said. She said, I wrote this song on the road and didn't tell my mom about it. I decided I was going to keep it a secret and give it to her as a surprise for Christmas. I wrote it in the summer and then recorded it secretly with the band in the studio. After it was done, I synced the song up to all these home videos of her and my family. She didn't even realize it was me singing until halfway through the song.
That's so funny.
Leave it to Mama Swift. She didn't have any idea that I could possibly write and record a song without her knowing about it. When she finally got it, she just started bawling her eyes out, just like Belle does.
That's so cute.
That's the sweetest thing.
I don't know if she did this on both tours. I think it was on Fearless Tour. On Mother's Day for the acoustic set, she sang Best Day.
That would not surprise me at all.
I think she did that on Fearless. It was really, really cute.
Aw, so now for Mother's Day in 2012, we can talk about the Best Day.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
So what do you guys all think of this song? Do you like it? Love it?
Yes.
Dislike
it? Yes.
I love this song.
I cannot handle listening to the song without crying.
I know.
Literally every time.
So cute.
I really can't do it.
Poor Belle. Cry, baby.
You sound so sympathetic.
The first time that I listened to this song, I was in tears at the very end at the bridge with the line... and you're the prettiest lady in the whole wide world. Like, that's so adorable and so, like, touching.
It's so cute. If you, like, actually, I've noticed, if you watch, don't feel bad, because, like, I was watching a live video of it the other day, and, like, everyone seemed to be doing fine watching her perform it, and then when she got to the bridge, you suddenly start to hear, like, sniffles in the audience. So, everyone, but also, it was at a concert where her mom was there, and she was singing it right to her, and so it was, like, extra adorable. But
dying.
No, it was the All for the Hall concert, by the way, in case if anyone's wondering.
Oh, that was a good show.
Yeah. So don't worry, Diane, you're not alone.
So do you guys have any favorite lyrics from the song then?
I like the one where she's like, I'm 13 now and I don't know how my friends, the whole entire verse, like, I don't know how my friends can be so mean. I came home crying and she held me tight and grabbed the keys and we drove and drove till we found a town far enough away. And we talked in window shopped until I forgot all their names. And that is just, like, so sweet to me, because for a mom to be, like, that in tune with her child, where they're just like, are you having a bad day? Let's just go and do something and forget about it. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so sweet. And that just made me cry, and I can't even talk about it without crying.
Oh, poor Belle is crying in the middle of recording.
It's just so sweet.
So one of the things I like about this song, since I haven't gotten to throw in my opinion yet.
Go for it, Adam. Tell us what you think.
Go for it, Adam.
Thank you. So, being a male fan of Taylor, a lot of these songs are about boys, right? I love that this song is gender neutral. It's about a relationship of a child and their parents, specifically their mom, but she does mention her dad in here as well. It's completely gender neutral.
Oh, that's true. It is. I actually didn't notice that.
Yeah, well, that's because you're not a male.
Good observation, Adam.
I'm glad that we are aware that Adam is aware of our genders.
That I am the only guy here. So, no, that's why this song jumped out at me, though, is because it's actually a song I can relate to more than, I don't know, teardrops on my guitar. I've never cried over a boy before.
Named Drew.
Yeah, I've never cried over a boy named Drew.
Yeah, it's you not know, like...
But I do have parents, just like anybody else.
It's not like her other songs. Well, this is also from Off with the Hob, when she said a lot of times whenever she's introducing one of her songs, it starts with, so there was this guy, and this one doesn't start like that. Which I understand why that would be nice for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Because it's like slightly more relatable, I would think.
Right.
Because I don't think if you were to write a song, it would start with, so there was this guy.
No, I mean, probably. I can absolutely relate, because who doesn't have childhood memories with their parents?
Yeah.
Anybody can listen to this song and appreciate the message in it.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that it's very poetic as well, so I'm going to take this moment to put Diane on the spot, because she's the English major in the conversation right now.
Way to put me on the spot with that.
I would love to pressure you into discussing how this song is poetic.
Okay, well, basically, songs as a form are just poetic in nature, but this song specifically is full of, like, these beautiful images and moments from Taylor's childhood, like... It starts out when she's 5 and she's just hanging out with her family, probably like around the fall time, and just running around, and you just really get like this image of like hay and tractors and pumpkins and just like this really cool, like calm fall scene. And I think that's just really beautiful how she was able to like convey these images in like such short phrases, but as a song, like, you really get, like, the sense of this really big picture.
So you're talking about how you can actually, like, visualize this scene
right,
in your
exactly.
head. And that's a quality you see in poems a lot.
Yeah. For sure. And then something that I meant to bring up earlier, but I forgot because I'm a bad person. But But I will tell you now. There's an interesting story behind the second verse that the Belle was talking about, and I'm wondering if you guys know about it. Have you heard about what happened to Taylor when she was 13 and her evil little friends?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, what happened, if you don't know, she came home from school one day and called some of her friends and asked them if they wanted to hang out and go to the mall. And they all said, no, they're busy, can't. So she went to the mall with her mom instead, and they walked into one of the stores there, and all of her friends were there. So,
they
didn't want to hang out with her.
So they, all lied to her?
Yeah.
That's so mean.
Yep, like, collectively lied to her. That's
See, I can relate to that, because, now, believe it or not, I was 13 once.
Whoa.
Did you go to the mall and shop and players, Adam?
Even more of a shocker is I was made fun of.
Oh my god.
Oh, me too.
You? I'm just kidding.
I know, it's hard to believe. I got made fun of when I was a 13-year-old. So.
For what? I didn't know that.
I don't know if this is necessarily appropriate for this show.
Well, yes it is.
You can give us the G-rated version.
And, you know, we do have editing capabilities, so... Hmm.
So carrying along with our discussion,
Adam.
Well, so I was going to share my story when I was
made fun of.
I thought
we were having story time.
Yes, story time about when we were 13. But this is Taylor talk. This is not Taylor talk,
like,
host talk.
We can talk about being bullied in middle school in relation to Taylor also having been bullied in middle school.
Yeah, exactly. But I think more or less everybody was picked on in middle school, because that's part
of
middle
school. I was not picked on in middle school.
You are not, Maya?
Nope.
Maya, you do not belong.
Maya, you are so popular.
No,
Maya's
actually,
too cool for the rest of us.
I was not popular, but I was not picked on.
I was picked on,
like,
in, like, 5th and
6th
grade.
In the
but
middle.
Oh, yeah. For me, it was 5th grade, yeah.
5th and 6th grade were horrible. And then I switched schools and everything was better.
Aww.
People were vicious to me when I was, like, 11 and 12.
Kids are mean to each other.
It's
really
horrible.
Can be.
Like, just really horrible.
Moral of the story, if you're a 13-year-old and you're getting picked on, Taylor Talk is there for you.
And you are not alone. Don't worry.
You're definitely not alone.
All right.
I'm sure almost everyone has a story, except for Maya.
Except Maya, because she's too cool for
maybe the Maybe if I tried really hard, I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's nothing, like, that stands out. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd always watch movies of, like, people getting bullied, and I was, like, had no ability to relate. But maybe, like, it's, like, smaller. I don't know. I'm just weird.
You are.
The answer to all the questions.
But we're kind of off on a tangent right now with personal stories, though.
I'm sure they don't mind them. I hope they like it, at least. I hope they're not bored.
Sorry, I hope you guys aren't bored, but I mean, let's try and transition back to the song, maybe.
Okay.
A little bit. All right. Did you guys notice how this one in particular, like, all of Taylor's songs tend to have an autobiographical theme, but this one is, I guess, a different format than some of her other songs. Like, all the songs talk about a certain event in her life, maybe, but this one kind of takes you through from being a little child to growing up a little bit.
Well, she does, like, time, I don't know what to call it, like, I don't know, if you just think about, like Love time Story and Mine have a similar thing going
with them. Yeah, that's true.
But it is different in that it's about her family and it's about, like, her, like, also Love Story is, like, completely made up, so, like, that's not even, actually, Mine is completely made up, too, they're both made up. So, like, this is, like, a real, you know, this is actually her childhood, and we get to sort of, through her words, we get to see, like, images of what that was like.
Of her childhood, her relationship with each of her family members, including her dad and her brother, even primarily about her mom. So, do we give this song a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Definitely.
Thumbs up, of course.
Two thumbs up.
Two very enthusiastic thumbs up. Actually, technically 8 very enthusiastic thumbs up.
8 very enthusiastic? Oh, there's 4 of us, right?
No, yes. Belle has 8 thumbs. Adam?
So how can we then relate this to a 13 if there's 8 thumbs up from 4 of us? 8 plus 4 is 12 plus 1 is 13.
But where do you get the plus 1 from?
Yeah.
I just made it up, just like some of Taylor's songs that are not the best day. All right, so the song has 8 enthusiastic thumbs up from us. All right, for the next segment of the show, we have a very, 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 very special guest with us. It's a good buddy of mine from the Mighty MuggleCast, the Harry Potter podcast, Eric Skull. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
There's a reason we brought in Eric for this segment on the show. It's a What Would Taylor Do? Submitted by one of our very regular submitters. Submitters? Is that a word? Submitters? It is now. So Swift Agency 13 is asking us, what would Taylor do if she went to Hogwarts and was in the same year as Harry?
Okay, can I just say, first of all, that I love this question because it combines my two favorite things, Harry Potter and Taylor Swift. So thank you, Hannah, for this.
And you know what? I actually, Eric, I'm glad you're here because we have you as well as your fellow MuggleCast host to thank for Diane even being here at all, because that's actually how we met.
Oh, very cool.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool.
That's why you're here, Eric. That's really the only reason.
So did you buy a shirt from Adam?
He gave me one.
He
actually gave me like 4
shirts. Hang
on,
Adam, that's not really, I gotta talk to you about the value of actually selling shirts and not giving them away, Adam.
Alright. Yeah, so for background people, I did the merchandising for MuggleCast. That's how I know Eric as well. So,
you gave her a shirt? Seriously.
I give away free t-shirts to pretty ladies.
Adam. That's okay.
That was almost a compliment.
Yeah. Almost.
Almost.
That's so funny. So, hang on. First of all, I guess...
I don't have any shirts.
I guess first things first, if Taylor did go to Hogwarts, what house would she be in?
I'm thinking she'd be a Hufflepuff.
It's a toss-up between Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw, in my opinion.
I agree. I'm torn between
She seems super nice. I gotta be honest. I'm not the foremost authority on Taylor, but she does seem totally nice. And I think Hufflepuff
would you go with
nicest.
Hufflepuff then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of her prevailing qualities is she'd be a fun person to meet, to collaborate with. I heard she gave Adam a hug, so... You know, she didn't give him a reading list. So, I'm going to go with Hufflepuff on that one. But I don't know. I think if Taylor went to... This is my opinion. You guys feel free to chime in. I feel like if Taylor went to Hogwarts the same time as Harry, then maybe the Harry Potter books would feature a little bit more of Hufflepuff in them. Because we know next to nothing about Hufflepuff and, you know, from the books. And I'm a Pottermore Hufflepuff, so I kind of wanted to
I was about
more.
To say
Me
you
too.
Would like that, wouldn't
I
you,
am too.
Eric?
Yeah, sweet.
Hufflepuff. We're all
Hufflepuffs.
Here.
All stick
Slytherin
together.
Slytherin right here.
Oh, yeah. Adam.
I'm Gryffindor, and I feel like that's wrong. I feel like I should be Ravenclaw.
Well, try.
Who would reject being a Gryffindor? Seriously.
Me.
I got so excited about getting put in Hufflepuff because then I got to read the thing with, like, the description of the common room.
Yeah.
And I just, like, nerded out about
it. It's basically like a gopher hole. It's bad. It's underground.
But, like, a really awesome gopher hole.
Like a really awesome garden apartment gopher hole. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. No, so I think that there'd be a lot more about Hufflepuff. Maybe there'd be more music at Hogwarts. Let's just go there.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think so. You're right.
I mean, I'd like to think that her musicality would like prevail no matter what world she lived in.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like she'd be an awesome spellcaster too, because she'd write really good spells.
Ooh, writing spells. And then we could go deeper with this too, this question. Doesn't have to be surface, although we have gone deeper so far. But like what would she do during if she were the same year of Harry? So this is the second part of the question. Same year as Harry. She would have had to deal with or been present at all the things Harry was. The Triwizard Tournament in year four. You know, the would she have written a song about whoever was going around petrifying students? Would that be, would Bully be about, you know, Draco Malfoy?
Oh, the song Mean.
Mean would be about Malfoy. You know, so basically, like, what would she do during the final battle? You know, would she be out there on the front lines? What would she be doing?
I think she's going to be cowering in a corner, to be honest. She's
when she addressed the issue of the Hunger Games, she said that she would just be like the quote-unquote the pathetic person that she hoped everybody would feel sorry for because she'd just be hiding and crying. So...
Okay, so she'd have other uses, though. She'd probably be manning the room of requirement or, you know, something like the med ward, right?
Yeah, I think she would definitely be helping. She wouldn't be, like, on the front lines, like, you know, killing people, but I think she would definitely find her way to be involved.
Agreed.
Would she...
Right, for sure.
I guess we all agree.
She'd be, like, this...
She'd be a big rock star, right? Like Celestina Warbeck?
Of course.
I love how you actually remember the name. That name.
Oh, Celestina Warbeck?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, this is Eric Spill we're talking about. He knows his stuff.
That's true. So, let's hear from you guys. Anything else to add on this?
Something I was curious about is I wonder if she would be friends with Harry and out there fighting with him, or she would just be kind of more of, like, Harry's backup support, or, you know, something a little bit more.
Would she even be friends with Harry at all?
I mean
we've decided she's in Hufflepuff. Harry's a Gryffindor. How many Hufflepuffs is he friends with?
Well, like, Hufflepuffs are jerks to him.
Well, yeah, but Harry's friends with Luna, who's a Ravenclaw. It's not like he can only be friends with Gryffindors.
Yeah, but Luna's cool.
Well, so is Taylor, right?
Right.
Well, like
Taylor would be awesome, too.
From what I understand, the opportunity to join Dumbledore's army was extended to all houses. So,
right, and I think she would definitely be part of the DA if she was given a chance to.
Yeah.
So that would be her in to meet Harry and them.
And I think she'd be really useful with EA about writing new defense spells.
So what if Harry Potter asked Taylor Swift on a date, and then he dumped her?
I'd say you'd
and
have
then she wrote a song about it.
You'd have some more competition there, Adam. Harry Potter.
I have an idea relating to the whole Dumbledore's Army thing.
Got a point.
What would Taylor's Patronus be?
Oh, that's a good question.
A cat.
A unicorn. Definitely.
Oh,
a
pegacorn. Actually, wait. I agree with Belle, unicorn.
No, it'd be a pegacorn.
Pegacorn? So
it's a pegacorn.
A pegasus with a... With
it's a pegasus a and a unicorn together. Correct. But, like, I don't... That's not really a thing, though.
It is in Taylor's world.
It's a pegasus
okay,
and a
unicorn. We're talking Harry Potter, though, not Taylor world. I think it would have to be a unicorn.
But if Taylor were in Harry's world, then their worlds would combine, so.
Maybe.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Although let's just
I was trying to think of a really creative name for that world, but I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah, although she'd probably go to the American Wizard School and not Hogwarts.
Yeah, there was never any mention of that school, though.
There really wasn't. I don't know if I like that or I don't.
Yeah, I want to know what the American school is.
I think it's just assumed. I think that, you know, the British books, I think it's important that Joe kept them in England, but still, it'd be cool if any of us went to Hogwarts. I don't think any of us want to go to the American school over Hogwarts.
Yeah, no, of course not. Definitely want to go to Hogwarts.
Yeah, that's true.
Did anyone else get really sad when they turned 11 and their letter didn't show up?
I'm trying to think. I was 15 or 16 when I got into Harry Potter, so I just assumed by then that my letter had gotten lost.
I think I actually was around like 10 when I first started reading it, and then once I hit 11, I was really sad.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Did anybody as a kid reading the Harry Potter books actually like really strongly believe like that magic was real?
Like, I think 10 is young enough to, like, sort of still be in that world where you can believe some of it. I wasn't, like, completely, like, convinced. But
no, I'm sorry, I was talking about high school. I was in high school thinking Harry Potter stuff was real.
Well, hang on, you mean it's not, really? Adam? You mean magic isn't real?
You shouldn't crush our dreams, Adam.
Yeah, what the hell? I mean, I'm 24, sorry. And that fact of life has escaped me.
We're gonna have to break the bubble to Eric. God. Yeah, don't crush his dreams.
Don't cry.
No, I'm gonna go before you can do that. Okay, my I need my bubble intact. Thank you guys for having me on so much for this segment. I'm gonna let you guys go now. I hope the show turns out great.
Thanks for joining us, Eric.
It's been a lot of fun.
Everything you said was so insightful. I really loved it.
Maybe sorry, we ruined your dreams.
Maybe our paths will cross in the future. Maybe one day I'll be selling Taylor Talk shirts. Who knows, right? This is crazy. But
you're too important to be selling.
Well, we
Taylor
just met
Talk
you,
t-shirts.
And this is crazy. But you could be selling our shirts. So
hey, you know, I grew up.
So in, call me maybe.
I grew up near where Taylor grew up. Did you know that?
I did know that.
You knew that.
That's super awesome. Cool.
We're both Pennsylvanians.
That means that we're from the same state.
Oh yeah.
Fun fact.
I went to a school, and I knew Taylor's school kind of. Like, if I had gone to Taylor's school, we would have totally gone to prom together. It would have been crazy.
Totally.
Of totally. Course.
I was into the prom theater for a little bit. Anyway, I'll let you guys get back to it. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Thanks for joining us. That was
thanks for joining.
That was the word from our favorite boy wizard, Eric Skull.
Yeah, you worked that in.
I did. I had to throw that in.
Oh, geez.
You're the man, Eric. Thanks for coming.
No problem. My pleasure, Adam. Nice meeting you all.
You too.
So since we know what wizards are listening to, what are Swifties listening to, Maya?
Well, I think that Swifties should be listening to a wonderful band called Love and Theft. Anyone doesn't know, they opened for Taylor a few years ago. I don't quite remember when, but it was...
They did open for her one show they opened for her specifically was at a Hard Rock show in 2008 in February.
Okay, it was
in
before
Orlando.
The Fearless album came out, and they're really awesome, and they have a song that one of them wrote. His name is Steven, you may remember him. He is the Steven from Hey Steven, and he he wrote a song that is called Try to Make It Anyway. And it is actually a song that he wrote for Taylor because, as it turns out, he liked her back. Of course, he didn't bother to tell her that for a little while, and I guess by then it was too late. But anyways, they're really good, and it's a really good song, so you should listen to it.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for introducing us to that, Maya. That song
You're
is called
welcome.
Try to Make It Anyway by Love and Theft. For episode 16, this has been Adam.
Belle,
Maya,
and Diane.
Sending you all virtual hand hearts, guys.
Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts.
Bye. See you next time.
Bye.
Oh, wait
Bye.
A second. No,
what?
I won't.
Well,
you
everyone
will.
Will minus Adam.
All the
will.
Ladies will see you next time.
We will see you next time. Adam will be gone.
Gone forever.
The men are away, the women will play.
Ah, wah, wah.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you guys
Bye.
Next in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye. We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.